Hello and welcome to Kicking It Off, the podcast for those interested in sports, football, and the coaching of young children. So far in this series, Dad and I have sat down with some of the most inspiring voices in the game, whether they are academy leaders, international coaches, or grassroots mentors. And today, for our final episode in this series, we are delighted to have Gabriel Bussinger with us, Brazil's very own Vasco da Gama's Director of Football. With over two decades in the game as a coach, coordinator and developer, Gabriel brings a wealth of experience in coach development and football methodology, and his commitment to nurturing both people and players shines through in his leadership. Thank you so much for joining us in Series 2 of Kicking It Off, and we hope you enjoy.
Okay. The sound is good for you?
Yes.
Yeah, it's great.
I have been coaching since 2002. So it's been a long journey. 23 years. Now I am going to the 24th year in my career. 20 years coaching. As a coach inside the pitch, giving trains, delivering train sessions, whatever. And the last 4 years, I am a director. So I'm quite new in this position, in this new role. But I think that is the same, because when you are a director, you coach coaches, you coach staff. So I think that I was being preparing, coaching athletes to be a director, now coaching players and coaching coaches and the other staff. And in my career, the beginner was very, very tough, because my first 5 years, I was working without salary. So wow. I just was working and running. And with my dream, that was becoming a coach in the top level and the top Brazilian level, or maybe in the world. But the beginning was tough. After my 5 year, I had my first experience when I was coaching, but like universities, some schools, some Brazilian projects, like with the working class sons. So after that, I started in a club, but it's a small club in Brazil. Was the first club in Brazil that calls Rio Grande. The nickname of this club is it's Grandfather Club, because it's the first one in Brazil. Yeah. And there I started my career as a coach, and after that was 9 years just working a lot, morning, afternoon, night, all weekends. This is the Brazilian reality. I can explain better to you after that. So after this, finally, I arrived. I achieved the top in Brazil, when I started to working at Avaí. It's a second division club in Brazil. So the first 14 years in my career was very, very tough. 5 years without salary, then 9 years receiving like pounds, was like £200 per month. This was my salary during 9 years. After that, I got married, now I have to work in another situations, create new situations. I was giving some lectures trying to help. And then when I arrived at Avaí, my career was getting better. And during these 14 years, I graduated in physical education because my dream was to become a player, but I wasn't so good. I did an injury at the time because I just had no skills enough. So I started as a coach my career with 17 years old. And then now I am 41. And then I go to Avaí. And Avaí, I went to Santos. Santos from Pelé, Neymar. I think you know Santos. After Santos, I start my career as a director in a new club in Brazil that calls Esfera. Esfera, it's a wonderful club. It's a new club. So after Esfera, I came here to Vasco da Gama. This is the first division club in Brazil, one of the best clubs in Brazil. So this is 23, 24 years in 5 minutes.
Wow. I think what you've described, Gabby, is I think everybody wants a shortcut and to be at the top or getting the rewards really quickly when most of us have done the hard yards. It's actually a coincidence. I worked for 5 years as a volunteer at my local club for no pay. We got a coat, a new coat for the bad British weather every season. But because you're passionate about it, you want to be the best that you can be, then you do put in the hard yards and you do put in lots of hours without pay. And I think it's really nice that both for myself and for you, that hard work has paid off.
Yeah, yeah. Now I look back, I said, okay, it's worth it. But when I was inside the storm, I was like, when this story is gonna end? Yeah. So, but I agree with you. Working with some players and some environments, chaos environments that don't have so much structure, no training grounds, sometimes just going to a square to coach and without money, without things, made me more creativity, yeah. Made more resilience, made me a better coach. So I have been failed a lot in my career. And when I look back, I said, now I am more prepared to the world, to the market, because I have been failed. And also, I had some tough career in that beginning. So I agree with you.
Yeah. I think it's really interesting because a lot of our listeners over here are probably going to be grassroots coaches who might not have a lot of resources. They're probably not going to have a lot of equipment. They won't get to see their players maybe more than 1 hour a week. And so to hear someone like yourself have a real success story from working for a really big chunk of time, 5 years is a really long time to not be paid and to just do the job because you love it. And so it's great to hear that the resilience and the creativity that you earned in those 5 years has then seen you through to have a really successful career. So it would just be great to know more about how you had to be creative in those environments where you didn't really have anything. What were you as a coach having to do to make sure that those players were still receiving a really good quality of education or quality of coaching?
Yeah, sure. Nice. I think that when you are starting your career as a coach, I think is the same of a child, you know. To the coaches that they are listening to us at the grassroots, it's the same of child. Like when you start your career, you are like a selfish coach, you know? You think more about you than the kids. You have like a coach-centered approach. It's the same of a kid with 2 years old, you know, like a baby. If you take out the lollipop of the ball, the baby gonna cry, you know? As the same, if you take something out with the new coach that they are starting his career, they're going to cry because they don't know how to survive, how to lead with the chaos, to lead with the no structure around him. And some of these coaches, they have passion. They have like a dream. They have like fire in their eyes. So they fight. They fight to survive. Some of them, they just quit, you know, like, I don't want to be a coach. I'm going to be an engineer, a doctor or something, yeah, or someone else. So I think that the nature going to separate in this, the beginning. The kid, when they grow like a child with, I don't know, 8 years old, 9 years old, they realize it that exists more people than themselves. So they said, oh, now I have a teammate. Now I have like an opponent. So they grow and they get more mature from the selfish phase. Like when if you see like on the pitch, 20 boys, 20 girls playing football, they're going to be like 20 around the ball because the ball, it's the lollipop. The ball, it's the center of the orientation. When they grow and they got more mature, they realize that exist people and say, now I have a teammate, I have an opponent. So it's the same of the coaches. At the beginning, They just worry about it themselves, and then they realize that exists players, exist assistant coach, that exist like the other coaches, and so they get more mature. The next level, the next phase is to be more mature. They have to realize that you have to pay attention on environment, not just now to the people. So back to the kid again. You start with the ball and then you move to teammates and opponents, and then you move to environment like referees, like a crowd, like sometimes TV, radios, sometimes social medias. So you're going to realize it that you have to get more mature.
Yeah.
Back to the coach again. The coach, they realize that they have to pay attention and the whole environment, like administration, politics, and other things around the coaches. So as much as the coach get more mature, I think that they realize that they need to improve some other skills. In the beginning, they are just worried to improve hard skills. But as much as they get more mature, they realize that they have to improve more soft skills, interpersonal knowledge and intrapersonal knowledge. And so you started with like professional knowledge. So I have to coach the methodology, like the train session. They are worried just with the rules, with the, and I have been organizing mine train session. So how this player is trying to make a chaos in my train session. So the coach thinks that they are the center, and was like me. In the beginning of my career, I was the center. I was just worried about me, my dreams, to win, because I think that some difference from UK and Brazil, that when you coach in Brazil, like under six, under eight, you have to win to survive. In Brazil, they're gonna ask you to get more results. You have to give to deliver outcomes. So they get more mature because they start, oh, to be more mature, I have not just to improve my professional skills, but interpersonal skills, intrapersonal skills, more soft skills. I have to be more worried about kids.
Yeah.
And they transfer the center. The center was the coach, and then the center gonna be the kid. When you see, and I had the opportunity to watch Peter giving a session in Australia, and was an amazing. I was kidding with him. That was like a grandfather, like coaching, you know, because they are so many patient, you know, the voice, always smiling, always giving confidence to them, waiting then on time, you know. And this for me is the mature coaches, you know. When you transfer from the coach center approach to player center approach.
Yeah.
And I think that I am in this way. I am on this pathway. So in the beginning of my career, I was a coach center. And facing all these tough things, I was studying more, post-graduated. I had three post-graduated and my master. And in my master, I was studying coach education and I was studying the successful coaches. And then I realized that to be a successful coach, you have to penetration an environment, give vision, giving confidence to the kids, create safe environment, but create also a competitive environment. But they have to fill you with them.
Mm-hmm.
So this, when I look back, I can see that I've been having learning from my career.
I think that will resonate with so many coaches because that was me. At the beginning of my journey, I thought it was all about the session, about me, what I did, rather than include anything that the players might have to offer. And I think it's a really lovely story that this coach is maturing out of that very like naive phase into more, you can call me abuelito now, Gabby, because I think this notion of a granddad, you know, even though it was like a dagger through my heart when you said it.
But you are a granddad.
it's such a lovely picture that, you know, I care for these kids. I want them to grow up to be great people, great footballers, and to not put any limits on what their possible achievements might be. I just think it's a great way of explaining it. So I'm hoping that will resonate with lots of our listeners. It was also really scary where you say coaches in Brazil of under 6 and under 7-year-old children, they have to win. I think we have some coaches like that, but I think there are also some really good examples of where, you know, the children are the most important thing. But because Brazil has got this reputation for the producing these exceptionally skillful players, does that winning get in the way, or how do coaches achieve the development of those really skillful players within such a pressurized environment? Is it more than the coaching? Does society play a big part in that?
I think that the Brazilian culture, like it's a third world country. So the people, they don't have so much education as a first world country. And they think that to change their lives, they have to have a football career, or maybe a musician career, or maybe artist career, because I think that player is an artist. Yeah. It's an artist. So they go through it and they think, oh, I have to be a football player to change my life and to change my family life. And with infrastructure families in Brazil, like living communities, they just grow alone on the streets because they grow without a father. Most of them, not all, but most of them, they grow up without a father, but just with a mother. But this mother, like, she has like four kids, five kids. Yeah. So she has to work to have to get a job. And they and she left the sons with grandmas or just at house. And when this kid started to play football on the street, they got free. The children, they grow in a chaos environment. So they have to skip the walls, to climb on the trees. They have to play without cleats, without shoes. So they play on the street. They play futsal. So they develop some skills, some abilities that will help. And then when someone, some scout look, said, oh, this kid, they have some football skills. Let's scout to our club. So they go to the clubs. And I think that we are lucky to have futsal, because in Brazil, we don't play in the grassroots phase. We play 11v11 in the ground grassroots phase.
Wow.
So like under 6, under 7, under 8, most of the country, they play 11v11.
Wow.
I don't agree with the idea, and I think that it's absurd. And I think that most other countries, they are creating some 3v3, 2v2, 4v4. But we are lucky that we have street environment and futsal environment. Because futsal, it's 5v5. And street, we don't know. Street can be 1v1, can be 2v2. They are free. They are developing skills. So I think that this is the foundation phase in Brazil.
Yeah.
Then the passion and the feeling to survive, to change their families, plus to they love playing football, plus the opportunity to go to a club, to a structure environment, plus the new opportunities and the agents and the brands like Nike, Adidas, they start to give him money. Clubs start to give him money. Like here in Brazil, a good player with 9 years old, they are receiving like £5,000-£10,000 per month.
Wow.
You know, because if the club don't pay, they go to another club.
Wow.
And the one agent pay to the other, to the parents, oh, assign with me. I'm going to be the agent with this kid with 9 years old.
Yeah. Wow.
So like the parents, they don't have education. The parents, they feel and they think like, I don't know how to read a contract. I don't know. Oh, so agent, here is my son. Just take and do whatever you want with my son. It's like that.
Wow.
So the kid have to grow up like by themselves, to mature inside a club. And then, Peter, I think that 5-10% of them, okay, gonna become a player, change their family lives and whatever. But 90% of them, they lose themselves, families, education, and whatever. So I don't like this. But this is the reality, the Brazilian reality. And as a director in my clubs, I try to fight against this culture, educating my players and try to give them a holistic formation and education as a player.
Hi coaches, just a quick break to remind you about our 10-week coaching plan that's available now. It's the perfect support for the start of the new season, helping you structure your sessions with expert guidance and keep your players developing whilst having fun. For more information and to start using the plan today, head to thesessioncollective.co.uk.
It's really interesting, Gabby, hearing how, because I feel like if you ask anyone, wherever in the world they're from, where and who produces the most creative and artistic players, chances are they're going to say Brazil or somewhere over in South America. And it's really interesting hearing that that is something that so many clubs or so many countries want to achieve. But actually, if what the kids are having to go through is a really chaotic and possibly really difficult childhood, and their parents have experienced the same thing, and there's lots of generations that have really suffered because that's the setup of the country, isn't it really interesting that that's something that a lot of places are seeking? They really want it, but obviously
they've got to look for alternatives because we can't bring Brazilian society into England. So for me, Gabby, our academies, particularly with the youngest players, have to create the kind of supportive environment and a little bit of the chaos so that the children can experience it, grow from it, and also mature from it. Because I think that word maturity is a really good one. I would imagine boys on the street in Brazil have to grow up really quickly and become very streetwise. But in a way, that all that deception and trickery and innovation, if they can bring that to the way that they play, that is gold dust, isn't it?
Yeah, I do believe that it's just one human being. Inside the pitch and outside the pitch, it's one human being. And sometimes some people have the vision and the approach that they are different, like inside the pitch and outside the pitch. They are the same. And this chaotic environment on the street and then the grassroots phase and then under 11, under 12 or whatever, because the laws in Brazil, they are allowed to go and sleep inside a club with 14 years old. Other countries, they use like roast families. Yes. That I think that is better than dorms inside a club, you know, without family. But I think that we are living in a Benny world, like bright soul, one shows, not linear, incomprehensive world. And I think that like chaos environment prepare more the talents to this Benny world. But during this journey, they're gonna need some education and they're gonna need something more, a structure. I usually say that the chaos need the organization to improve and the organization needs the chaos to improve. Yeah. Like if you go to another country, maybe UK, maybe USA, maybe Australia, they are so much organized. So they're going to produce predictable players.
Yeah.
This third world environment, street environment, they're going to produce unpredictable players.
Yeah.
Because they have to survive outside the pitch. When they go to the pitch, they feel free.
Yeah.
The coach is going to say, go to the right. And they say, no, I'm going to the left. Because they have so high confidence self-confidence to say, like, I know how to survive with 11 years old on the streets.
Yeah.
So this pitch for me, it's easy.
Yeah.
But in the other hand, when they are like 18 years old, 20 years old, the first world countries with education, they help this child now, the teenager, to see the world and to take advantage from the world with a holistic approach.
Yeah.
And this kid that got more mature with 11 years old on the street, take advantage from the chaos, they didn't realize that they need education. So when they started to receiving a lot of money, they don't know what to do with a lot of money.
Yeah.
Like they goes to £1 per month to 50,000 per month, but just the next month.
Yeah.
And they are not prepared.
Yeah.
Now what I do with this money? Oh, I'm going to buy a car. But your mother, she doesn't have a house. You're going to buy a car. But I want a car. I'm going to buy, I don't know, a ring, a gold ring, something that it's not so good to buy. You have to buy another things before that, like education,
yes,
like the holistic approach education. So when they go through the first team to the professional leagues, when they go to Europe, they need like 1 to 5 years to adapt.
Yes.
If the kids grew up in structured families, they can adapt faster.
Mm-hmm.
If they grew up on the streets, they need more time to adapt. But they're going to need like an agent or maybe a coach, a director, or something that they confidence to help them, because they're going to fail. They're going to fail inside the pitch. They don't know how to speak English. They don't speak Spanish. They don't speak other language. So the player will be physical in Europe, and they dream it. All of them, if you ask, well, what is your dream? To go to Premier League,
wow,
to go to Europe and play there, you know. But if you know, do you speak English? Do you are use it with cold weather? Do you are use it to eat different foods, different cultures? They not. They yeah. don't. So they go to Europe, they play on the club, but they keep on the social medias, WhatsApp, typing with Brazilian people. So physical, they are there,
yeah,
but they are not prepared to face the challenge and to face all the things because they are new. And they said, I have to back to Brazil.
Yeah.
Back to my girlfriend or boyfriend, back to my community. So a lot of them, they are prepared about hard skills, about some skills, abilities, dribbling, creativity, but they are not organized and educated to survive in another environment. So how we have to fix that? As a director, we are trying to create some different programs in Vasco and other clubs as well to give them this integral education approach with another language, experience, and whatever. Like we are seeking a club in Europe to make an exchange program, to make this player be 15 years old, go there, spend like 15 days, 2 weeks,
yes,
and then they back to Brazil. Why? Because if you say to them, you have to learn English, okay, they say, yeah, I know that, but someday I will learn. But when they go there and they feel, because the feeling and the emotion, for me, it's one of the best way to teach, to learn. when they feel, oh, how can I take a bus? How can I take a train? How do I get to the training ground, to the facilities? I don't know. I have to ask help, but I don't know how to ask help.
Yeah.
I am in the restaurant, but I don't know to read the menu. So the coach is saying, and I am alone. I am not socializing in my club. So when they back to Brazil, we're 15 years old, say, oh, I have to change. Next year, you do again. Next year, you do again.
Yeah.
When they are like 20 years old, 21, in my opinion, they are more prepared. Not because we taught them, because they
realize
through the experience, realize that they need.
Yeah. It's another great example of us knowing what the players might need, but unless the players recognize it themselves, they're never going to fully buy into it.
I'm just finding this conversation so interesting to hear the different challenges that different countries have when they're looking at their own youth development programs. And I think that balance between structure and chaos, it feels like a really fine line, because chaos sounds like, I mean, depending on your experience of chaos, can either be really terrifying or really exciting. And structure can either be, yeah, great, I really like structure, or no, I hate being confined. I need the chaos. So how do you, Gabby, and how is the work that you're doing at Vasco? How do you find that balance? How do you implement that balance? And does it change all the time, or are there any... what's the secret?
We need to know what this magic key is.
Yeah, I'm looking forward. I was reading a book this year that's Think Again from the Adam Grant. And I think that every year we have to reflect and think again, because we are learning and then relearning.
Yeah.
And then we think, oh, I think I don't know. I have to study more. So I think that all of us, we are trying to find this answer and this key. But I can share with you what I am discovering with my experience and also studying a little bit. I think that I've been discovering an athlete-centered approach. When you look to athlete-centered approach, you pay more attention with their own needs than what we believe. We have to think again about our beliefs, our values, our principles, because the society that we are living is completely different 30 years ago. And this Generation Z, they have some particular characteristics that is so much different of mine. So they have difficult to communicate because they grew up typing, not communicating. They have difficult to face and to be more resilient, to face some problem and to face some difficult, because they don't have difficult when they are kids. Always an adult is doing something for them.
Yeah.
So I think like the empowerment, giving autonomy, giving more safe environment to take risks and to create something new. Give them emotion and experience, because the AI don't have emotion, but the human beings have. So the AI gonna help us, not we gonna help AI, you know? So we have to always to remember that the player, they have feelings. The player have emotion. And we have to help them to management this emotion. Help them to face the challenge of their own lives. But let them play. Let them think. Let them choose. I learned, Peter, with a wonderful FIFA instructor they don't care how much you know until they know how much you care.
Yeah,
I learned
absolutely.
It with Peter. So, and I learned it with Chris in New South Wales that if you cannot change the man, change the man. So I think that the whole of coaches, the whole of the club is give them the center. Now, like when you see parents, it's not about the child, not about the son, not about the daughter, always about the parents, always about the coaches, always about the adults, not about the kids.
Yeah.
You know, a research asked to more than 1,000 kids with grassroots phase, who you prefer to take you from the football? And they answer, grandfather and grandmother.
Yes.
Why?
It's a
Why?
Win for the granddads.
Because they ask. They don't give them like a speech or a lecture inside the car. Oh, you have to dribble. You have to take ball. No, you know, like, hey, did you have fun? Yeah. No, I didn't have. Why? So we have to ask more than give answers.
Yeah.
You have to create chaotic environment, but safe environment. Competitive environment, but also creating some love environment. Create some tough environment, but support environment. You know, I think with this, you find this balance. Creating chaos, but giving structure.
Yeah.
Let them choose and take risks and have some mistakes. And then we support them with asks.
Yeah.
And then, oh, it is okay. Just keep going, keep proving. It's not about score a goal. It's about improve. It's not about just winning. It's about improving. Just keep improving. Like Johnny Walker, it's not keep walking, but keep improving. You know, always keep proving. Keep proving. Yeah. Because life is about be a long life learner as a player and then as a coach, as a player and then if a fifth instructor, as a player and then as a teacher. You know, life is about learning. And to be a lifelong learning, you have to change your mindset. Some of them, Carol Dweck wrote in the book, Mindset, that we have fixed mindset and growth mindset, and we have to change this mindset. So, but to change the mindset, the player have to be the center, not the adults. So that's why I believe that we have to give them space, give them time, give them games, give them trains, give them, leave the kids alone. Sometimes we have to give them and make them choose. Otherwise, we're going to create like the Waze generation. Do you know the GPS Waze generation? Like turn left, turn right. Yeah. Now, Dad, what I do? What I'm supposed to do, Coach? What I'm supposed to do? They don't think. We have to make them create criticism thinking. You know, we have to let them take risks and encourage them, give them autonomy, empowerment. Said, okay, just decide. It's up to you. But I'm here for you.
Yeah.
I'm here for you. But if I mistake this, if I lose this shot, my dad is gonna kill me. It is okay. Just keep going. Just keep going. So that's why I do believe, as Skaya taught us, the Sideline Parents Program. Skaya, Peter, know her. We have to educate the parents.
Yeah.
We have to educate the club. We have to educate the agents. We have to educate the crowd, the social media. But we have to work with an athlete-centered approach. If we work with this athlete-centered approach, the player, they're going to have his own experience on deciding, and they get more mature. But if you organize everything about the kid, they're gonna learn, but not with the top level,
yeah.
You know. But if you just give them the chaos, they gonna learn, but not the top level.
Yes.
So this balance, I think, Lauren, that we have to create environments more than just throw knowledge, you know? Like old school was like a teacher that the teacher knows everything, but the students, they don't know anything. No, I don't like this approach. You know, like I think that the teacher have to teach with individual needs. We have to interview our players, interview, for example, our coaches. As a director, I've been interviewing all my coaches to know all the background, dreamings, beliefs, principles, values, and then I individualize the coach. So we have to give more than individualized approach, but through creating environments more than give them cones, structure, or maybe just survive on the street, my friend.
Yeah.
No, it's not like that. So I think with this, we find this balance.
And everything you're saying, hopefully this is a fair summary in the sense that you've used the word holistic quite a few times, and that doesn't just include player and coach. That includes as many people that are in the player's sphere, the coach's sphere, and that everybody needs to be on board for that growth mindset and that openness in knowing that this isn't a 5-year journey, this is a lifelong journey, and that these skills can be transferred on the pitch and off the pitch. I don't envy you having to find that balance. It really does seem like a really difficult job, but it's just been really, really interesting, Gabby, to hear how you go about it and the journey that you're on, as well as the journey you hope your players are on.
But Gabrielle, we could keep this going for another 2 hours, but I know you've got work to do, but you've really given our listeners some really strong messages. And because of your passion, and don't forget, you're speaking in your third language, because obviously Portuguese, Spanish, and then English. You are so articulate and passionate, and that just shines through. And I think if that is communicated to your players and to your coaches, then you're going to create something really quite special. And I think that's happened everywhere that you've been. So thank you so, so much for sharing your experiences and a bit about, you know, what development of young players looks like in Brazil. So can't thank you enough, Gabriel.
Thank you. I appreciate that. And I'm so pleased to be here with you guys. And you know that it's a pleasure to talk about player development, environment development, human development. So it's my passion. And thank you for inviting. And thank you for all our podcasters. They are listening to us.
Thank you, Gabrielle.